In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and I've got a very, very special treat for you today. In the studio with me, I have John Henry Weston, all the way from Ottawa Valley, Ontario, Canada. So, John Henry, welcome.
Thank you, Claire. Good to be with you.
Fantastic. Now, John Henry, how many times have you been to New Zealand?
Only a couple times, but it's the most beautiful place with all your mountains. It's just gorgeous, but the most gorgeous thing is the people here.
Yeah, I have to say New Zealand is a pretty special people. Okay, I'm allowed, as I said, I called you a Kumara the other day because the Kumara is so sweet it doesn't brag about itself. So I can just tell people if they've never heard who John Henry Weston is. He is married to a lovely lady called Diane and the father and mother of eight children. They homeschool them. And ages from Hannah is, how old is Hannah?
23 today.
Okay, well, happy birthday, Hannah. And your youngest, Zachariah, is?
He's seven.
Seven, fantastic. Wow, amazing. Now, John Henry is a child psychologist. He has degrees from York University and
University of Toronto.
Toronto, sorry, how should I have forgotten that? So,
And while I have the degrees, I don't practice as a child psychologist at all.
No, John Henry's probably most famous role is as co-founder of LifeSite News. That was way back in 1997, and he is the editor-in-chief. So in that role, it's the largest Catholic traditional internet site, thankfully, and it gives us all the latest information that we need to be up at the forefront of what's happening around the world. He's also founder of Rome Forum, which would you like to just explain what that is, John Henry?
Yes, Rome Life Forum is a gathering of pro-life, pro-family leaders from around the world who are concerned with what's happening in Rome right now, have been since its founding in 2014, and we meet once a year.
And also Voice of the Family?
Voice of the Family, too, was also set up in 2014 to be a voice at the Synod. Various groups belong to Voice of the Family, some 20-odd groups that are concerned with, they started out being concerned with what was going on at the Extraordinary Synod of the Family in 2014, again, the Synod on the Family, and these big changes that are happening in the church, some of which are very detrimental to the causes of life and family. And so Voice of the Family is there to be a voice, to monitor what's happening, and to keep people informed as to what's going on.
And John Henry has a major role all around the world as a pro-life leader. So, John Henry, you were invited down by Dame Colleen Bayer and Michelle Kaufman from Family Life International to give a series of talks about the challenges facing young people today and how to help them encounter Christ. And I was very fortunate to be at one of them. And how did Christchurch go?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was a full house again, which was really great to see. Mm-hmm. And I think it was different in that different questions asked and made for some very interesting conversations. So we had a great time. I love talking to people about how to reach young people and to young people about how to reach their peers, how to live the faith, especially in the hardest questions. We talk about life, faith, family, freedom, and particularly the area of family and marriage, where I think Satan is attacking more than anywhere else.
Absolutely. I mean, it was Sister Lucia said that the final battle would be over marriage and the family. So just what do you think are the three most important issues facing young people today? I mean, for example, you've got porn, you've got gender, you've got suicide, broken families, fatherlessness, loneliness. What do you think the top three?
Well, actually, I think there's something that really underpins all of that, and that is the lack of a belief in the eternal, the real, the reality of heaven and hell, death and judgment, heaven and hell, the four last things we used to always think about and contemplate. Who thinks about heaven nowadays? What it is, what it, especially here in New Zealand, you have the beautiful mountains, and You have the ocean. You have everything here. And you look at it and you realize that's a teensy glimpse of what eternal life is going to be about. And, you know, freedom from rejection and cold and harm and heartache. But yet, the other side is a possibility of eternal suffering. And we don't think about those things, because if we do, we'd have the motivation with which to go forward to battling all these things. So that's number one. Number two, yes, porn is something that affects more people nowadays than anything else, probably. But it also, therefore, underpins a lot of the sexual malaise in our culture, and why we give in to such things as the gender, transgender movement or the homosexual movement. And so those things are very difficult to deal with, because we haven't dealt with in our own souls the problems that we might have with our own sexual expression, doing so in a non-sinful way. And so when we then come and are confronted with things like homosexuality, there's a lot of confusion.
Absolutely. You've said it in a nutshell. So, I mean, I always sort of say to people, you know, God created us in his image, male and female, and that seems to just not be resonating with young people today. Why is that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's a big thing right now over this gender question and people's, you know, sexuality, how we were created. God created us male and female. That's just the way it is biologically. So if you look, I play this slide, or excuse me, a little clip from Dr. Michelle Cretella from the United States, a medical doctor who explains, you know, males have in their DNA, XX in their chromosomes, and females X, or the other way around, females are XX and males XY. And so we're biologically male or female. There's no changing that. There are mental conditions that make you think that perhaps you're something else. And Dr. Cretella is famous for the example of people who are, they feel they are amputees, but in normal bodies. And so they want to chop off their limbs. And this is a mental disorder. And she explains that if somebody wants to chop off a healthy arm or a healthy leg, it's a mental disorder. But if somebody wants to chop off healthy breasts or healthy genitals, oh, then there's transgender and it's not a problem. So it doesn't make sense. And it's not to be mean. It's, we have to look at these people who have these feelings of wanting to change sex as people who need help, not help to mutilate themselves, but help to accept who they are, who they were created to be. And that might be difficult, but there's all sorts of difficult mental disorders that are out there. But we don't chop off the arm or leg of the person who feels that he's an amputee to help him, because it doesn't make any sense. We have to, although, address all these people whom we talk to with real love. And I was trying to convey to the people at the conference, don't talk to them if you can't talk in love. Try and bring Jesus in your heart and let Jesus look at them through your own eyes.
That's a very, very good point. Don't talk to them if you can't talk to them with Jesus in love. That's a perfect, perfect point. So where has this movement come from? It seems to be a bit like a tsunami that has just swept over the world in the last, well, less than a decade.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think for one thing, you know, the way this, I think the origin of a lot of these things is actually from the evil one. We were warned by Our Lady that, you know, the final battle will be over marriage and the family. It's a distortion of the Trinitarian kind of love to which we're called in heaven. And, but where does this come from in terms of, you know, there's many roots into sexual confusion. And one of the big ones is pornography. You know, a lot of people think you're born a certain way. You're born gay or you're born this and that. Well, actually, no, they've never found a gay gene, as it were. But you are born with inclinations to, with original sin. We get baptized, but it doesn't take away the temptations to sin. And so we have this temptation for sin, selfishness, temptations of all kinds. But that doesn't make you a certain thing, or, and definitely doesn't make you do sinful things. So everyone is tempted sexually with something or other. And I'll speak from the male perspective. Every male is tempted to sexual sin, sex before marriage, in marriage to adultery type of thing. Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery already in your heart. So this is a common thing to have temptations to sin. What we're called to do is to fight those temptations, to win over them with the power of Jesus in us. We can't do it ourselves. And to go forward from there so that you can identify with the man or woman who's same-sex attracted and say, yes, you have these temptations to do these things which you know are wrong, and you fight doing them with our help, because when you fight these temptations off, you're a great encouragement to us. Because if you can fight off this temptation, this same-sex attraction, and therefore live a life that doesn't engage in sexual activity that's harmful for your body and your mind and your soul, I too can practice my sexuality properly. If I'm a single male, that means celibate life. If I'm a married man, that means a life of conjugal love only with my wife. And if I'm a a man who's separated from my wife, unfortunately, it's still, and we're still validly married, it still means that I must live a celibate life. So it's always a challenge, but we all have those challenges. And so we need to meet one another with a loving support for one another, and that does not involve encouraging one another in a sinful lifestyle.
Absolutely. So there seems to be a pushback on conversion therapy. So it's almost outlawed in some places. Why is that?
So one of the things with the teaching of the church we must remember is that nations to sin are not sin. Mm. So there is a misnomer among some people, probably some good people, think that any kind of same-sex attraction is itself somehow sinful. Well, it's not. In the same way, it's not sinful if you have a kind of attraction or desire to have sex outside of marriage. Sorry, a lot of people do. The temptation to do that itself is not a sin. Giving into it is a sin. So if, for instance, a guy sees a lady walk down the street who's dressed kind of inappropriately, very attractive, no one's going to, say it's not. But he should recognize, that's not for me. Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. How am I going to do that? You look away. You actually have to control yourself. And so the idea of conversion therapy, so-called, first of all, basically there's a lot of lying going on. And that's what's really sad. Why doesn't the mainstream media or activists on the other side, why don't they just say the truth? Because they know very well, first of all, conversion therapy, so-called, is for the most part, what you're talking about is people with unwanted same-sex attraction who are asking themselves for help of a counselor to leave those feelings and perhaps want to get married to a woman and have children. Lots of guys, lots of women who feel same-sex attraction also feel an attraction to having a normal family and having children of their own. There's only one way to have children of your own, and that is in the normal way of husband and wife coming together in the sexual act that then begets children of your own. And so that's a natural desire. And when people want that, have that natural desire nowadays, and therefore seek help from a psychologist or a counselor or whatever to get rid of unwanted same-sex attraction, why wouldn't we allow for that to fill desires? And now we're making it illegal. It's completely nuts. But this is what's happening in our society today.
Yes, it certainly is nuts. Okay, 3 o'clock, so it's Divine Mercy time. We just do a very, very brief form of the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Okay, so our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who was
conceived
by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of a sorrowful patient.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Now, if you are pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organization in Auckland, Family Life International, who can help you. And they have a special pregnancy center, which is called Gianna's Choice. So the phone number is 0274 488 070. So 0274 488 070, and you can always get a friendly voice at the end of the line, and we can help you with all sorts of things, you name it. You know, if it's just to come in and have some support, or if you need cots, capsule, blankets, baby clothes, food, nappies, you name it, even helping out with other sort of very essential items. So don't forget that phone number. Okay, we're going to go straight back. We don't have much time, only just over 5 minutes left. So, John Henry, you've been to New Zealand a number of times, and you, you know, what is your impression? Are we a godly nation? I mean, our national anthem, which you heard the other day, mm-hmm. says God defend New Zealand very prominently at the end of each verse. Are we a godly nation?
Well, you know, the spirit of your people is still there. It's a joyful spirit. But I think what's happening both politically and even, God forbid, in the church is showing a rejection of our Lord and the truths of our Lord. And these things are very sad, because what follows in the wake of rejection of God is never a good thing. And I think you need a turnaround in New Zealand before, you know, something really bad happens. You've had shocks already, if you will, in a very real way, in terms of the earthquake suffered here. And I think these things can be seen as signs that we need to turn around and be with our Lord again, so that he can bless our land. And I really am talking to the believers, because in the scriptures, you know, we read, if my people will heed my voice and turn to God, I will bless their land. This is your land. And so the believers, the Christians in New Zealand, need to turn to God again, to fast and to pray for their nation. And especially in these hardest of issues, the life and faith and family issues, we need to strive to follow God's commands.
I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, didn't the King of France, he was promised, you know, his nation would be raised up and glorified, and God would help him in all his battles and things, and it just didn't happen. And the country was meant to be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of mm-hmm. Jesus. Something you mentioned along those lines at the conference the other day. When people turn away from God, they have to pay for it at the end of their life. Mm-hmm. But when nations turn away, and the leaders, for example, secular and church leaders, they have to pay for it now. Mm-hmm. So in real time.
Yeah. You know, and often it's the leaders. Do you remember in the Old Testament when David was unfaithful? What happened? God punished the whole nation. And so now with your prime minister, and I hate to say it, even with the cardinal, Cardinal Du, they're not being faithful to God's own commands, to the understanding of the fullness of the truth. And these things bring down punishments. And so we have to pray. And so I mentioned fasting too, because our Lord said, you know, some things, some evil spirits only go out with prayer and fasting. I believe, unfortunately, New Zealand is at that point where we need to pray and to fast. And our own nation, my own nation of Canada, is in the same place. So it's easier for me to see it here. And your land is so beautiful and your people so beautiful. They need a rescue. And I know one of the most powerful things I always see here is the Mother Divine Mercy. Young people, young men. Young women too, but it's the men that you never see. I travel a lot. I'm in churches in Canada and all over the world, and there's very much a lack of young men. And there in that community is a bunch of young men who are fully ready to live the faith, even sing it out loud. And it's an incredible witness.
They are such an inspiring group of people. I do think that you've touched on something there, that in New Zealand we do have a bit of a crisis of fatherlessness. And if you go to our jails, there is a problem with broken families. And I know for the Māori population, just as an example, 75% of babies are born into single parent homes. And so that is a huge, huge problem, and that just goes, you know, down the track. But just getting back to what you said about the nation, Hugh Owen, you know Hugh, he's a wonderful man. He's been to New Zealand a few times, and I remember he came here and I went to his talk, and we'd had the earthquake, the very first one, which wasn't so bad. And Hugh said in his talk, you had an earthquake, but you didn't, there was no reparation. You know, you didn't bow down and, you know, try and do something about it as a Christian nation. And then you had another earthquake. And so that was his, take on it, that because we hadn't been faithful, we hadn't realized we need to do something, this could perhaps be, you know, some sort of warning or something. So it was a very, very powerful talk.
You know, having heard about your earthquakes, especially I was just in Christchurch, weren't there also, in addition to the two earthquakes, thousands and thousands and thousands of aftershocks?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, literally 10,000 more.
So if that's the case, and my understanding too is that despite all that, there wasn't many deaths during all that aftershocks.
There was one particular building, which a huge court case, but other than that, there were a lot of people, but one building, there was over 100 people.
And one building. But for the amount of aftershocks, the massive earthquakes, the death toll was that much. To my mind anyway, God was calling in a way that was serious, but gentle enough to leave the people, but to call the people insistently over and over and over and over, thousands of times, turn to me.
Yes, and let's hope that we are listening. Okay, I don't know where the time goes, but we always seem to run out of time. John Henry, thank you so much for coming.
Claire, great to be with you and all your listeners. God bless you.
God bless you, and please say hello to your lovely wife and family.
Will do.
That leads us to who knows where, who knows.